Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler today. Ms. Elaine, please introduce yourself.
Yes. Good evening. My name is Elaine Liddy, and I am a survivor of the eugenics forced sterilization program out of North Carolina.
We also have Reverend Gant, and we have Ms. Elaine. I just found out about Ms. Elaine a little bit before I started to record this. I can't tell you how I feel right now. I understand a little bit of what she feels like. I was told that I should never have children either.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I was also put in a mental institution because of the way I am. But this is not about me. This is about Ms. Elaine. Ms. Elaine, Reverend Gant, thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler. My first question would be, how old were you, Ms. Elaine?
How old was I at the time?
Yes, at the time when they sterilized you.
I had just turned 14, and I had became pregnant from a rape.
Okay, you had become pregnant from a rape.
At 13, I was raped.
Mm-hmm. And you found out, and you were sterilized at 14. Well, the rape.
I became pregnant from the rape when I got raped, and I carried my baby 9 months with the help of my grandmother because I didn't have any parents. And my mother was in jail, and my father was shell-shocked. So, you know, he had abandoned his children. So the state had taken an older sister and myself away from my parents and gave us to my grandmother. It was 8 of us. One of my sisters was adopted. 2 of them went to my grandmother, and 5 of them went into Central Orphanage of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the people back then, do you feel that it was complete racism? Complete racism because you were poor? You had no parents black?
That's exactly the reason why they did this. And they felt like they could say anything. Yes, they sterilized me because I was black, I was poor, and I didn't have no parents, and I went to school. I wore the same dress sometimes three or four days in a row to school. You know, my mom was drunk all the time. My life was really, 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 really bad. You know, I've seen some of the worst things in my life that happened to my mother. And I believe the reason why the person chose me to rape me because he saw that I had no one. And it was like, I felt like during that time when I was coming up, I felt like I was like just a throwaway. You know, I remember having to go in right at 6 o'clock in the morning. The truck would come, and everybody in the neighborhood basically would climb on the back of this truck to go pick cotton in a cotton field. This is the time I'm talking about.
What year?
Back then. What were you saying?
What was the time, Peter? What was 1960s, 70s, 50s?
Okay, no. It was like 1964, 65, 66. I was no more than a little child. I got pregnant in 67. So we didn't even have running water. And I'm telling you, we're talking about outdoor toilet time.
I remember those things.
Where you had to go and pump your water from a pump. We didn't even have a sink in the kitchen, let alone a toilet in the house.
But despite the way you were singing, in spite of the sterilization, what did they do to you during the sterilization? Did you bleed a lot? What happened?
After they had sterilized me, the doctors couldn't find out what had happened to me, what was wrong with me. And so they sent me to a specialist. And I guess the doctor must have taken pictures of me because I was hemorrhaging so bad. Sometime I could be walking down the street, pass out, wake up bloody. I mean, gushes and flesh would come out of me. So I went to the specialist, and the doctor told me that I was butchered. Butchered? What do you mean butchered? So he explained to me that I was sterilized. He took pictures of my stomach, and this is like during the time I was like 19. And I started fighting eugenics from the time I was 19 up to today. So that's what happened. I didn't find out until I was 19 years old. So I went to the American Civil Liberties Union when I told my sister what the doctor had said, my older sister, and she got me in touch with American Civil Liberties Union. And from there, they took off and started questioning North Carolina. However, there was a professor at North Carolina State. She had went to the archive building in Raleigh, and a clerk told her, come here, I got something to show you. They had the record sealed. The clerk opened the file in the archive upstairs somewhere. He opened and showed the lady, the professor, how many people that the state of North Carolina had sterilized without their consent. They call it forced sterilization. So the professor, Joelle Schuin, called Larry Womble, who was a representative, and John Raley with the Winston-Salem Journal. And that's how I was able to get the records, and that's how it became public that this is what North Carolina had done to its citizens. And again, like I say, they sterilized little boys, 7, 8, 9, 10, they not sterilized, they castrated little boys, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age, little girls, one little girl that I know that was 5 years, and I asked them, what could we have done for you to do this to us? And they told me that I was feeble-minded, that I would never be able to take care of a child. I couldn't take care of myself. I wasn't able to tie my shoe, which was wrong. That's what they used to sterilize me, was to say that I was feeble-minded without never having met me.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. I'm sorry.
And it's so powerful. It's so powerful that she's continued this fight until this day. And when we were talking about reparations, you know, they like to say that, well, we wasn't in slavery, our ancestor was in slavery. But these are the things that we as Black people go through in this country every day. Every day. And this is why reparation is so important for us. I'll kick it back to you.
Yeah, I as far as reparation, we that is ours. Our ancestors were There are hands, and they'll work their hands to blood. You know, why can't we get reparation when everybody else is still getting reparation? Wall Street, I mean, these people are still benefiting from reparation. And what they say is that, oh, we have nothing to do with it. Oh, we don't have nothing to do with what our ancestors did. We shouldn't be responsible. Yes, you should, because you're still benefited from it. What's the guy's name, the crazy guy? He's a Republican, Mitch McConnell. His parents on both sides had slaves, and he is still benefiting from it.
Okay, I understand.
It's so simple to find out who's alive. You know, because I've done it so many times, I've Googled up because I got tired of them telling me that everybody was dead. But you're still benefiting from it. Look what you did. And they're only talking about, you know, what they did to me and what they did to my ancestors. That's genocide. What nobody asked them. They didn't ask. My ancestors was brought over here as a slave, forced over here. That's human trafficking.
Yes.
That's him. That is definitely human trafficking. Miss Elaine.
Yes, ma'am.
My question for you has to be this. Were you able to ever have children?
I have. Well, my grandmother helped. I kept my son from the rape. And he grew up to be an entrepreneur. And what they said. Was that they had to sterilize me because I was feeble-minded. And if I had children, my children were going to be feeble-minded.
Okay, but...
but they were wrong. That one child.
About you. They were wrong about you.
Yes. They were definitely wrong about her son. He's an exceptional young man. Exceptional young man.
About you, Miss Elaine, you speak for the American with civil liberties, and you go across this country. Am I correct?
Yes, I just recently got back from England, from Europe. I was invited to come to the Goffman Institute of Eugenics, and I went there and I spoke in front of the Royal Society because they wanted to hear from a living survivor of Galton's theory.
So you just got back from Europe. You've traveled the world speaking against this. Does it still go on? Do you know?
Well, yes, ma'am. It still goes on. Because, you know, here is what's going on now. Let's start with the prison system, like in the Alabama and Tennessee. They offered men, black men, said that they would give them 30 days off if they could submit to sterilization, off of their time, 30 days off of their time, for if they submit to sterilization. Yes, ma'am, sterilization still happens. They inject our girls with Depo-Provera, which Depo-Provera causes sterility. We're drinking their nasty water with the water having all the chloride and stuff in it. That causes sterility. You know, that's why we should never drink. We should boil the water before we drink it if we're going to drink it off the sink. They have so many means of sterilizing us. Have you ever heard of the MRA interference technology, where they have developed a crop to target our DNA through the food, which causes, there's a word I want to use, it causes, gosh, what's that word? Anyway, it causes sterilization as well. I almost had a word on my tongue. You know, so yes, ma'am, they are still doing it.
That's in recent years.
That is today. And in recent years, yes, ma'am, they're not only sterilizing us. If a young woman, if she's incarcerated and if she's suffering from some sort of mental illness and she's a ward of the state, the doctors take their babies and sell them. I just came across that, but I knew about that a while ago, but I forgot. But I just met a friend that she had triplets, and what they did was they told her that she was crazy. She only had one baby, but she knew she had two babies, and the girl is so smart. She had three babies.
Yes, you have to be real careful for who you label crazy, because even when black people label other black people crazy, they do harm to them. They do detrimental harm to them because of racism.
Exactly. So I was telling my friend not to accept that. You know, don't claim that because you're not. You know, and I thought I was. And what happened to me was really, really, like I said, it was extremely devastating to me because, you know, I wonder why people turn to drugs. You know, I dipped in it because I couldn't deal with myself. You know, I was on Prozac and Haldor and all that stuff because I couldn't deal with what they had did to me. So I woke up and I said, oh, no, that's not me. I can't do this. I can't smoke crack. I can't take this medication because they was over-medicating me.
Yes, I know the feeling of over-medication.
Yeah, and I stopped cold turkey, you know. And then when I stopped, I was able to pull myself together because I said I'm not going to let them control me. I'm not going to let them win. So I took it on my own, and I sued the state of North Carolina for $1 million.
Did you win?
Well, what happened was, I'm going to these conferences every week, traveling to North Carolina, trying to get them to see my side and to tell them that I'm not feeble-minded. And so after I started going, then this white guy started going because they castrated him, and then this other lady from North Carolina, she started going, and actually they developed a, what you call this, anyway, it was a group of people that decided to listen to us, a task force. And they decided that I wasn't feeble-minded. And they decided that first they wanted to give us, like, what was it, altogether $25,000 together. And then asked them, don't you think that I'm worth more than that? I mean, this is how they're treating us. They wanna give us $25,000 a month, the three of us. And finally, the task force decided that they were going to investigate, and they investigated, and then they offered us $10 million. But as soon as they put the money on the table, then everybody came out. So all of us got like $45,000, $47,000 apiece because they had to divide that money amongst over 200 people, and a lot of the people had died.
Okay. All right. Okay, I understand that. Yeah, they do try to nickel and dime black people when it comes to money and lawsuits. They seem to feel like with lawsuits that our injuries are not anything. Are not important, that injuries are not as bad as theirs, that we really don't get food poisoning and things like that.
Well, you know, I have been studying a lot about eugenics. You know, they had the Dr. Marion Sims, who used to shoemaker a horn and tap in the black baby's brain, and then he would take the black woman. He had slaves, his slave women, black. He would take them, and he would sterilize them without anesthesia. This is how they feel about us. This is how they see us. They came and said that we can take pain, that we don't need anesthesia. And then as soon as he did that, he would put his slaves back outside and make them work. You know, can you imagine piercing a baby's brain with a shoemaker's horn? This is what we went through. This is how our ancestors suffered. You know, and we don't have no one to talk up for us. We don't have no representation.
That's why I'm for reparations. That is why I'm for reparations. Reparations for black people, those who are not discriminated severely against. That is why. And when you call a black person crazy, like they called you feeble-minded, call a black person crazy. When a black person stands up against another black person, calls them crazy, feeble-minded, insane, they hurt that black person because of racism. When another black person goes against another black person and testifies that they are completely insane, that they are completely crazy, I swear by it. Do you know what that does to that black person, to the white people who are already discriminating against them? That empowers them.
I see it every day. When we go out there and say we deserve reparation, and I see how the black people side with those people and say no. You know, I see it every day how people, our people, people of color, go and open up homes for other people and won't open up a home, a homeless home for us. You know, I see how they're doing this.
You're
breaking. Why can't you open up a home in a black neighborhood for the black homeless youth, for the black homeless women, and for the black children? Why can't you do that? Why you got to go all the way over there and open up a home?
It's sad. It's sick. It's a sickness.
That gives those people ammunition, okay, against us.
It does.
If we step on their side and agree with them.
This insanity thing, them calling you feeble-minded, not only did the black people help them, but they're still doing it in this day and time. They're still calling black people crazy. They're still certifying, swearing to God that this person is certifiably crazy. I swear to God by it. And when you call a black person crazy, you are empowering racism. You're empowering.
That's right.
You're empowering the racist. You swear before God in heaven that that black person is crazy. You are helping racism. You are helping.
Yes,
you are helping that person's life or live in hell.
That's why I told the girl, don't claim it.
Yeah.
Just don't claim it. Don't claim it. See, we have claimed so much that they have given us. You know, everything that we do, you know, is because they told us that we have to do this. They told us that we have to do that. You know, and I try to tell people today, and I want your people to listen to me, and I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And they got us, and they know it, and they're praying to a black God, a black Jesus. The Pope have him in the dance in the Vatican. Everybody have a black Jesus in the house except for black people. We praying to the devil. That's the devil. That's not our true God. That's blasphemy. We're praying to a false God. That's why we can't get up and do nothing. That's why we can't let you. I mean, I think about it. Because we're praying to the devil. We're praying to the devil. That's not God. That's not Jesus. Stop praying to that thing.
You know, with racism, it will run you crazy. Racism will certifiably run you crazy. Racism will. Racism will run you crazy. Racism will make you sick. Racism will make you depressed. With the black people in the amen corner, it really has an effect on that black person that's living that way.
That's right. That's right. That's right, because we are living a lie. And how I came to that conclusion is because I was around those people and I studied them and I watched them and I learned how they operated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but black people have to take credit for what they do to black people too. When you
yes,
still
ma'am, they do.
You don't stomp on them. You don't stomp on them and put them 6 feet under. I sent them to prison. What I'm saying, the reason I'm for reparation is because of people like you. People like you, people like myself, even. I have liver damage.
Oh, sorry.
So racism is real. They say, oh, all they want is money. They're not really ill. Is that what your lawsuit was like also?
Yes, ma'am. And I had white supremacists coming up on me. You know, they talked about me like I was an animal. You know, I mean, they said, you know, this is, they still treat us as slaves.
You're breaking up.
Yeah, they still treat us as slaves. You know, they feel like that we don't deserve anything. And in order for us to get it, we have to fight for it and let them know that we recognize what they're doing. You know, everybody else can get reparations.
Mm-hmm.
Except for us, right here in America.
Right here, and you're all breaking up. You're all breaking up. For some reason, you are breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Reverend Gant, she's breaking up, and so are you.
Okay.
We hear you very clearly. We hear you very clearly.
Really? That's why I'm for reparation, because what black people have been through, what the slaves went through, what they went through in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 2000s. How recent was it that you know about that they offered these black men to get out of prison? I know the prison was a living hell that they were in. It was in Mississippi or Tennessee. The prisons are disgusting in Mississippi.
That was just about 4 years ago.
4 years ago, they offered to let them out of prison. The hell they lived in prison in Mississippi is horrible. The hell, the governor, Tate Reeves of Mississippi, I found something online about the prisons in Mississippi, and it was horrible. It was disgusting. A part of the prison that was supposed to have been closed, they were putting black men in the part of the prisons that were supposed to be closed, and it was mildew, mold, maggots. It was horrible. The prison.
No, they just put us. Go ahead.
Yeah, the prisons in Mississippi are horrible. They try to minimize our illnesses. Like I have liver damage. They try to minimize it. It's a game to them. My body's a game. My liver damage.
Are you here? And
the thing is, they're backed up by the Constitution, is backed up by law. When we look at the 14th Amendment, it's saying that that they've outlawed slavery in America, except if you go to prison, except if you become a prisoner, except if you become an inmate, then they have the right to continue slavery. And this is
and that's
this
all
is
they're doing. Doing. That's what they're doing.
You are breaking up.
Okay. They're arresting our children.
Part of the house or a certain part of the room where I can hear you?
Okay, let me go this way. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Yeah. What it is that that's free labor. That's slavery, okay?
Yeah, that's slavery. They made slavery legal by saying if you became an inmate or go to prison, slavery is legal.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
The Constitution of the United States, it is legal.
It's legal to become a slave if you're in prison. In Mississippi, it's the worst one. Mississippi, Alabama are the worst ones. There are for black people.
And Georgia.
Georgia, Mississippi. Alabama are the worst prisons that there are. Florida's pretty bad, too. Yeah, they're the worst ones. They live in filth. They live inhumanely. And God help them if they're on medication. Only God can help them if they're on medication. Because they
That's
won't
right.
get medication in prison.
That's right, because they keep us dumbed down with their medicine. We cannot function. We cannot think. We cannot do anything but just become a zombie. So that's one of the reasons why I decided to wean myself off of Haldor, Seroquel, and all of that crazy medicine, because it was making, turning me into a zombie.
Yeah, and then they can really get to you then. Them white people can really get to you if you're a zombie, if you're on tranquilizers.
Yes, ma'am, that's what they do. And they do it to our kids, too. So this is, and I looked at it, and I said, now why in the world do we have all of these little boys and little girls changing their gender? It's the medication that they're giving them. It's the milk that they're giving them. You know, this, nobody give their milk, babies cow milk but us. You know, it's the medication, it's the vaccines. So after they did that to me, I promised God, I kept asking God, why me, why me, why me? Why did this have to happen to me? And I tell you the truth, he answered me, and he said, why not you? He said, because that's part of your mission, because so many of my people have been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And you're the only one that can fix it.
Amen.
You're speaking out. You're exposing what America really is. You're exposing America to anybody who wants to hear this interview. America is being exposed for the monster that it is.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm very...
So what I did with my life is, you know, I'm fighting eugenics. I exposed eugenics in the United States. I went to England and spoke at the Gotham Institute of Eugenics in front of the Royal Society. The name of my organization is the Rebecca Project for Justice, where the Rebecca Project for Justice is Rebecca Project for Justice is a transformational organization that advocate protecting life, dignity, and freedom for people in the United States and in Africa. So what the Rebecca Project is doing is we're opening up a home for at-risk youth, abandoned babies, chemically dependent children, and children sold into human trafficking. That's what I am doing with my life. And I also have I'm opening up another home, the Elaine Riddick Sister Sanctuary Shelter, for women that find themselves pregnant, homeless, and want to abort their babies. So what I do is I bring them into the home. I give them a place to live. They can go to school. We teach them a trade. Once they have their babies, we teach them how to bond with their babies. And then while their babies, if they have to go to school after they have the baby, we're going to have a program where we're going to have a daycare center in the building where we take care of the child while the mother is either going to school, working on a job, or, you know, or whatever. We are trying to develop these children, black children especially. We want to teach them how to become productive members of society. And I feel like that's another purpose that God gave me to do, because I know what happened to my life. And I know I didn't have anybody, and I know what I needed. See, I was a little girl that was outside with my face pressed against the window looking inside. So from that, you know, I learned. I went to New York City Tech, where I acquired an associate degree in human services.
I would love to get my associate degree.
Oh, it's easy. It's basically 101 psychology, sociology, and all of that stuff like that. So, yeah. I mean, it's been a road, but I didn't have nobody to push me. You know, I had to take, like they say, pick yourself up by your own bootstraps. And that's exactly what I had to do.
Yes, even though you had no bootstraps.
Even though I didn't have no bootstraps.
And we thank God for you. We thank God for bringing you into our lives. Okay.
Thank God for you. Thank God you survived it.
Thank you. I survived it, and now I have to reach out and help someone else because God gave me this heart, and he gave me the wisdom and the knowledge to do just that. You know, this is my purpose in life. Yes, ma'am. It's to pick somebody else up and help somebody else. You know, I want to change juvenile's way of thinking. I want to reconstruct the juvenile's way of thinking. You know, get them on the right track because, you know, our children are being sold into human trafficking when they have those Super Bowls. Our 7- and 6-year-old kids, these pedophiles, our little girls are being laying up in a hotel room waiting for these people. And people are paid to bring our children to them. And most of these pedophiles, I think someone told me that to be with a young girl, a little teeny 6-year-old kid, is like $600 an hour. Whereas being with these grown women that agreed to do this is like $50 an hour. You know, so this is why we have to save our children. We have to take them out of this type of environment. I go to bed every night thinking about the little girl that's walking down the street, 10 years old, over in Vine City or somewhere like that, walking down the street at 10 o'clock at night because her parents are drunk and on drugs and stuff. You know, I go to bed every night worried about our children. Every single night I go to bed worried about our children.
They don't see little black girls are over sexualized. Little black girls are over sexualized.
Well,
little black girls are over sexualized. If they're pretty, how to develop breasts early? Develop
it's all the stuff that they're getting them.
Yeah,
it's all the chemicals and the food. See these. Their mothers are young, and they only take them to McDonald's, you know, and McDonald's food is high in this pasteurized stuff. It's just junk food that will kill you, and it causes obesity. You know, our children are over-sexualized because sometimes you have the mother will bring the man in the house, and when the mother isn't looking, the man is grabbing and filling on a child and giving her money. You know, I know most of the time, a lot of times when the parent is out in the street, these men come in the house and they might not penetrate the child, but trust me, they're doing something to that child that would cause them to be promiscuous, as they said I was. And I was not promiscuous. I was just hungry, cold, and pitiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Sometimes your aunt, the girl's uncles and cousins could be molesting them. It's another thing that, you know, that we have to stop.
We have to stop these child molesters in our families.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
They have to be stopped.
They have to be stopped. I've seen it, you know. I mean, I have an uncle that tried to. You know, because we lived in a 2-bedroom house in the 60s, and we didn't have, like I said, we didn't have no running water. We didn't have no heat. We had to use a wood stove. And, you know, it was just crazy, 15 people living in a 2-bedroom house. So, you know, when you're talking about slavery and slavery ended, back then we were slaves because we had pallets on the floor.
Where are you from?
I was born in North Carolina on the Outer Banks, near the Outer Banks.
That's a real racist place.
Oh, the place that I was born is, you can Google Windfall, North Carolina, and they would tell you that it is the most racist place in the country. They still got Confederate flags flying around.
Yeah, they still have Confederate flags flying around here.
That's what I'm saying. You know, they still have Confederate flags on the side of the buildings.
Yeah, Confederate flags flying by. They still got Trump for president signs up.
Lord have mercy. If anything, if it's God, we're going to be, this man is going to be a dictator. I'm telling you, he don't like black people. I'm telling you, we might as well just give it up. But everybody said they're voting for him. And I think black people like dictators because they're not used to nothing. You know, we have always lived in a dictating society. You know, so it don't matter to us at this point. We had nothing, we have nothing, and we're not going to get anything. So.
My health is ruined.
Ma'am?
I said my health is pretty much ruined. But
why is your health ruined, may I ask?
Oh, just different reasons, different racist things. A lot of horrible things have happened to me and been said and did to me. Accidents that weren't supposed to happen have happened to me because of racism.
And you said something. I do a lot of herbs, a lot of natural herbs.
Mm-hmm.
I do a lot of juicing and I do a lot of natural stuff. I take
When I move, I'm going to start the juicing and the herbs and things.
Where do you live?
I live in a very prejudiced, ignorant place.
That could be Georgia.
I live in a very prejudiced, ignorant place.
Yeah, that's all these states have there. You know, we were talking about how Georgia, all of North Georgia, that black people are not allowed to go in, how it used to be owned, like Forsyth County, all of that up there, Lake Lanier, all of that used to be black-owned farmland, and they took and opened up the war gates of hell and drowned all those people and took their land. The same thing they did in Oklahoma. The same thing they did in Florida and Rosewood, you know. I mean, in every, what else, in North Carolina, every state within the United States have done this to black people.
Right.
Yes.
The Wilmington, what is it, was it, what was it, the Wilmington something, the Wilmington Massacre in North Carolina where they killed all those black people. You know, I mean, this is crazy. This is, they burnt down Wilmington. They didn't flood it out. They burnt it down. And this is why, what I'm saying. After you have slaughtered my people, everybody else can get reparation except for us. You know, you act like they act like we're stupid.
Mm-hmm.
After you have slaughtered my people and you continue to slaughter my people every time the police, you know, the police goes to Israel to train. Did you know that?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so when they come back, you know how they hate them. When they come back, they use black people as target practice. Overkill. And then they're saying that slavery is over. The police is a slave catcher.
Mm-hmm. That's why they were invented. You know,
that's
you
exactly
know,
right.
You talk about Central Park in New York.
Central Park 5.
No, that was all black. That was
black. Central Park, all of that. Even Bed-Stuy, they don't went over there. And that's what they call genocide. Gender. I think it's gendercide. Well, they don't went over there. Right. They don't went over there and took all the land from the blacks.
That's right.
You know, they don't went over in Bed-Stuy and took our Brownsville, East New York. Took all the lands from the blacks and put the blacks out. What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
How you gonna do this?
This in New York, and then in Kansas, they had a place called Milford, where black people were flourishing, and they built a lake and drowned the whole city and moved.
That's exactly what they did here.
And they did the same thing here in Georgia. And they've done the same thing in states all across the nation. They've done
Florida, Rosewood.
yet they say that we are not entitled to any type of reparation.
But they can give it to those other people.
Yes.
That we built this country. Oh, we built this.
Ukraine. What's so bad is Ukraine. And Ukraine and Israel and Pakistan, those people have never been over in this country.
That's what I'm saying. They ain't never been over here. I ain't never lift a brick. And they're bringing them over here. They said they don't want black people in this country. You know, look at, what's the name of that country in Africa?
Those people that they give giving all this money to fight these wars have never been to this country.
And they're bringing them over here.
And they're giving them all this money and stuff, and they won't give black people reparations, and they're bringing them over here.
They're bringing those South Americans over here. They're putting the people out, the homeless people out of where they're at, and putting these people that they're bringing over here in the hotels where the homeless people used to live at, where the veterans live at. How is that? And then they're given they can vote here, and you won't let black people vote. But as soon as these people get off step over the border, you're gonna give them a driver's license so they can vote. What's up with that? It's time we woke up and see what is going on. These people came over here illegally, and you're gonna give them all this money? Put them up in hotels, fly them here? And you mean to tell me that we don't deserve reparations?
Black people deserve reparations, and it should happen soon. It shouldn't be, we shouldn't have to wait for money any longer. Just destitute poverty life, our health don't matter. We're not really ill. We're only doing it for the money.
Exactly, but I was reading somewhere something about Congress. There was like 76% of black
practicing medical malpractice, stop poisoning people with the food. They wouldn't be sued.
Well, you can't even go on social media and say nothing because everything you say, they ban it. You know it's the truth.
Yes, it's the truth. They ban my stuff.
And they're banning everything that black people have to say because they don't want this stuff to get out. They don't want people to know the truth. Like, they don't want to teach black history, which is America's history, in school. That's part of America's history.
And
slaves are part of America's history.
And 4 years ago, giving black people, black men, 30 days to get out of prison, 30 days early in the worst prisons in the world, which are in the South.
That's what I'm saying. You know, look at what California did. California said, okay, now the prison that these women were being sterilized in was in, they were in a state prison. Like I said, when people are in state prisons, they give the state the authority to do whatever they want to do with you. Whatever, because you have their property.
Yeah.
So in California, the doctor told people that they didn't have rights. And they forced sterilized all these black girls in California prison. California sterilized, California sterilized over 20,000 people. Okay? North Carolina sterilized 7,600. 32 states within the United States sterilized little children and women and men. 32 states within the United States sterilized their citizens. This is how bad the eugenics are in the United States. And again, it escalated. First, it started out with poor white trash trailer people. And then in the 60s, it escalated, or let's say the late 50s, early 60s, it escalated towards black people. There is a place over in North Carolina near Raleigh.
It wasn't for white.
I can't.
Male. It was not poor white trash first. It was black people first because they get into slavery.
Okay. Well, okay. So I can't think of Charlotte. Mecklenburg, Charlotte. They sterilized almost all of their black people. It has the highest rate of sterilization is in Mecklenburg, North Carolina, one of the most prestigious places there is.
Okay, I need to look into that.
That's right. You need, look into that. Mecklenburg, North Carolina. So, again, 32 states followed. Louisiana was one of the first states, California. When other states stopped, wasn't doing as much, North Carolina escalated with theirs. And it is a shame. And we want to know why our kids, men, are on the street, you know, drugged up, homeless and all of that. Look what they did to them. How we know why those people are out there? I mean, can you imagine somebody castrating you? Yeah. And we want to know why our people are out there and why, you know, I mean, look, they cause such a problem by taking the black men out of the house and giving the black woman that if she got rid of her husband or her boyfriend that they would take care of her. Men out of the house gave the black woman food stamps and welfare, which when they sterilized me and told my grandmother she didn't mark that X that they was going to cut her food supplements. And back in those days, when they were getting the surplus, it was surplus food they were getting. And, you know, in boxes, they would go and stand on a line half the day to get box of food so they could feed their family. So the people told my grandmother that if she didn't sign the paperwork for me to become sterilized, that they were going to stop her food supplements. But my grandmother didn't understand the language because my grandmother wasn't literate. So she signed an X.
Yes, for me. Black people were forbidden for learning how to read. And then these white girls. And then these white girls come in with these black men. Come out through the time period.
It is terrible. You know, and then these black men run behind them, and especially these sports guys that make a little bit of money, and before you know it, they done divorced them and took all their money. You know, I don't understand why black men don't want black women.
Because we've been through so much. They don't want black women because we've been through so much.
And they don't want to share in with our problems?
No, they don't want to share.
There's nothing more beautiful than a strong black woman. And that may give a lot of men fear. You know, because they're not where they need to be at. But real men, they want a real woman.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You know, I was lucky. You know, like I said, I had God on my side, and God pulled me through the rain and the storm and everything else, and he picked me up and told me, this is what I want you to do, and I'm doing what he asked me to do. And he is who glued me together in my mother's womb. He knew me before I was even born, and he knew everything about me.
Amen.
Before I was born. Glued together in my mother's womb.
Amen.
I'm glad you have that one son.
Yes, ma'am. We can share him if you want to. He's a beautiful, he's on his way here. He spends 6 months in Ghana, in Africa, and then he'll spend 6 months, he'll spend maybe 2 months with me, and then he'll spend 4 months in North Carolina. So he's on his way here, and then he's going to Ghana on the 13th.
Wow, you know what? That's where I'm going next. That's the next country that I'm going to is Ghana.
That's right, and see where our ancestors came from.
Yes.
You know, but again, The people in Ghana and in certain parts of Africa have opened the door to us. They want us to come home.
Mm-hmm.
They're killing us. What's that?
Anymore, I can't take the oppression by the black people. We talk on the white people.
What do you mean by that, my sister?
I have black people oppressing me. I have black people telling me I can't leave here. And they think it's fun.
I don't understand. You can leave. You're a grown woman.
They think it's fun to tell me I can't leave here. I can't leave them here. They don't crack.
Mm-hmm. And you've been doing an outstanding job. For how many years have you been on the air now?
14 years.
You see? Powerful. That's powerful. And they didn't expect you to last that long.
No, they didn't expect me to stay on the air 14 years. That was your purpose. That's your mission. That's my mission, yeah, is to bring truth and knowledge, you know, and exposure, you know, and that's what you do.
I'm also on iPod TV, so I'm going to they have about 2-3 million people, so I may get 5,000 people, 10,000 people who do it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So, but I have another show to do. Not a show, but, you know, a group thing to do. And it started at 7.
Okay. That's 8 o'clock your time. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Angela, so, I thank you for bringing us on tonight.
Welcome. Thank you for coming on the show. I am for reparations. I'm for reparations, black people. I'm definitely for reparations and not no change. Thank you for coming on with Angela Butler.
And don't forget to get my information from Pastor Gant.
I won't. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you, Gant.
All right, thank you.